There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can see I'm one of them.
Everybody now.
Oh, one of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Sing it, everybody.
One of them. I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah.
One of them. I am one of them.
Say.
One of them, I am one of them. I'm so glad that I can say one of them.
Hallelujah. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost. Stand up with your Bible. Stand up to Acts chapter 1. We want to go into action. One verse there. Acts chapter 1. Can we be on our feet? The most important sermon from this Bible is the sermon for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the truth. All other sermons come behind this sermon. Whatever ministry you have, church, listen, it's very important you catch this. There are so many ministers in our midst. There are so many claims up and down in the Pentecostal world, especially and particularly in this end time message following of the ministry of restoration. So many claims. I am this, I am that, I am this. This is revealed, that is revealed. Continuity ministry, I am John, I am this and that. I am apostle, I am this and that. Everywhere! They struggle for position. One say, I am apostle. Another one say, I am chief apostle. Hallelujah. No matter, listen church, no matter the depth of your knowledge of this Bible, no matter the depth of any revelation you claim you have, if it does not lead the hearer to receive eternal life through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that ministry has achieved nothing. Nothing. Listen. What I am saying is a seal. That is the only reason Jesus Christ went to the cross on Calvary. He went that we might have eternal life. And eternal life comes only by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The evidence that God has called you, especially those who claim monumental ministries, worldwide ministries, the only evidence is that the door to the kingdom is open through you and his children find entrance into it. Amen. Anything outside of that is just mere religion. Mere religion. No matter how charismatic the preacher may look like. No matter how charismatic. No matter what grammar you speak. And I told you something, church. Hallelujah. Some people are already tired of standing. Stand small, stand small, stand small. Stand small first. 2 minutes. If I pass 2 minutes, just sit down. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Listen, church. There are people that have anointing. When they stand with microphone and blow breeze, people will fall down. They stretch out their hand towards you, you will fall down. Church, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We shall continue. Wait. Some people are dancing. My 2 minutes when they finish. Chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, that is Jesus Christ, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Be seated. We're looking at the Holy Ghost these 6 days from every angle. Today we are looking at the Holy Ghost from the angle of the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father. Which promise? Jesus Christ spoke it in Luke 24. For those of you putting down some scriptures. If you can't, you can always get the tape. Immediately we close, the tapes are ready. The VCDs are ready. The DVDs are ready. Luke 24 verse 49, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He told the disciples, he said, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The promise of the Father. Hallelujah. And what is the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father is verse 5 of Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. Please turn down the volume of these things. It's too loud. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What is the promise of the Father here? The promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is a promise. It's a promise. The promise of the Father is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And it is a total package. He got packaged that for his children. Because the Holy Ghost means so many things. And not just so many things. Means everything. That pertained to our faith. That pertained to our Christian journey from earth to glory. Everything is embedded in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He listed some of them. What is the Holy Ghost? The promise of the Father in giving us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What has he given us? What is he promising to give us? He's promising to give us in John 14 verse 16. He's promising to give us a comforter. He described the Holy Ghost here as the comforter. Why is he promising us a comforter? The reason is simple. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that all them that shall live godly in Christ shall find enjoyment on earth. Are we together? All them that shall live godly in Christ shall do what? Suffer persecution. Church, listen, and listen very well. Christianity has been misrepresented to us. Get it corrected. Hallelujah. There are three baptisms before a Christian. There is water baptism, there is baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there is a baptism of suffering. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to be born again, you want to receive eternal life, it comes with suffering. Your pastor told you, now that you're a Christian, there is no more suffering. Everything now is easy, easy. Oh, I know who I am. I know who I am. I know who I am. Greater is he that is in me. I know. Whatever I lay my hand upon shall prosper. I can never be poor. Oh, why not? He was poor so that through his poverty I may become rich. I am rich. And if you follow that type of gospel and then persecution, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Mark chapter 4. Open it. Parable of the soils. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Praise the Lord. This is the interpretation in verse 14. Hallelujah. The sower soweth the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for which sake is the affliction and persecution? For the word's sake. That's the scripture I'm looking for. Immediately they are offended. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately you receive the true word that will convert you. Immediately you receive the true word, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Immediately you receive the true unadulterated word of God and you respond to it, affliction and persecution shall arise for the word's sake. So that you will find reason not to follow the truth. Church, you were in prison before. The devil was in control of your life. All of a sudden, you escaped through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you have eternal life. Where you are going, Satan desires to be there, but he knows he will never be there. Now he's saying, okay, you will not go to hell, Abi. You want to go to heaven, but before you go to heaven, there will be battle here. If not, why do Christians fast and pray? Why do we have night vigil here every Friday in this church? Why do you spend hours in prayers? Because as soon as you declare for Jesus, you have entered a battlefield. All the arrows of the enemy are pointing at you. There will be persecutions. There will be frustrations. A young girl that had boyfriends, they were sleeping with her and giving her all she needs, all of a sudden decides now to live a life of chastity. She decides she won't open her leg for any man anymore. Of course, the men too will say, we too will not give you those gifts anymore. And so, problems will begin. Satan will make sure they withdraw everything from you to make life miserable for you, to make you think as if your decision is a decision in vain. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. Hear what he said. In chapter 16 verse 20, he's telling his disciples. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall, these are the disciples of Jesus. So he said, disciples of Jesus said, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Our assurance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Praise the Lord. That's why he said in verse 7. Amen. He was talking about going away and going to my father and things like that. Because verse 5 says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me whither thou goest. Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Holy Ghost is that Comforter. That when things turn upside down, you're a young girl, you can't get a husband to marry because you have decided to go the rugged way of life, the Christian life. You're a young man because you will not do like others to get a job, to get money. Do you know there are young men that get themselves involved in homosexual unclean spirit because of money? They have sugar mummies because of money. They are homosexuals because of money. You have women too that are lesbians. And any man or woman, the Bible called them effeminate. It's an abomination. In Israel, I think that is Leviticus 18. Is a commandment. Homosexuality is a curse. It's an abomination. But you find people even going to church that are homosexuals. You find women that even go to church, they are lesbians. And you don't know it's a serious curse that is upon you. Some do it because of money. A young man decides you won't do all that nonsense. Certainly, then be ready for the price. You will face some difficulties. But while all these difficulties are around, hallelujah, he gives us a comforter. When you have the Holy Ghost, there is a way he comforts you. Hallelujah. That is why in Luke chapter 17, somewhere there, the Bible says that the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. If they say, lo, he is there, he said, don't go there. If he's here, don't go there. He said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. Where is the kingdom of God? He said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And it can only be within you if Christ is in you. And Christ is in you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And why did he say the kingdom of God is within you? Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14 verse 17. He says, for the kingdom of God is not in meat or in drink. But what is the kingdom of God? He said the kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. All these makes the kingdom of God. And then you understand why he said the kingdom of God is within you. You see? You find peace. Righteousness is the ability to live a life pleasing before God. You find joy. Despite all the persecutions you are going through, there are some parents, the day you say the child say, I don't follow you again to Catholic Church, they will disown you. They will disown you. I had cause to talk to a man that withdrew paying the young girl's school fees. That, you know, stop the girl from coming to this church. I had cause to go, and this young girl received the Holy Ghost. And her life totally changed and transformed. The girl stopped wearing trousers and all that she was, the life she was living before. When she was, I had to call the man. I said, sir, but you are aware that this girl, men used to come and take her in the evening and bring her back in the morning. You didn't have a problem with her. When she was living a wayward life, you didn't have a problem with her. You only began to have a problem with her when she started going to church. I said, sir, don't you think something is wrong? Something is wrong. But that is the cross she will follow. When Jesus Christ said, if any man will follow me, you should pick up your cross and follow me. The cross of Jesus Christ is a symbol of suffering. He carried his cross. You too, you will carry your cross. He was not for doing anything evil. Not for committing anything. He was guilty of nothing. But they put a big cross on him to drag. You too, that we follow him. He said, you will follow him. He said, deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. That is why we need the comforter. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In verse 17 of that same John chapter 14, he promises us the Spirit, the Holy Ghost there is the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The same thing that in John 16 verse 13, he said he will guide you unto all truth. It's the Spirit of truth. Why? Because I have told you several times, there are two spirits in the world today. There is the lying spirit, which is the Antichrist spirit, which is the spirit of error. And all it does, nothing but to do things contrary to this Bible, contrary to the perfect will of God, to pervert everything that is truth. But there is also the spirit of truth. And that spirit of truth is in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. when that spirit comes upon you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, once you receive the Holy Ghost, you have received the spirit of truth. He will lead you, guide you to all truth. To all truth. Praise God. And I always say something. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of a stranger, they will not hear. They will not follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This God that we serve is wiser than every human being. His name is Wisdom Himself. This God that we serve is higher than wisdom, because wisdom lives in Him. Why I say so is, there are so many people that are going to church not because they have caught a revelation of anything about this God we worship. He told Peter, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? In Matthew 16, he said, Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Church, listen to me. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. That is, you can never know who Jesus Christ is by going to a Bible school. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can never know who Jesus Christ is by going to Bible school. Amen. How can you know who Jesus Christ is? That's the reason why the people are going to church. They don't even know who the Father of Jesus is. They don't know who He is. They don't know who His Father is. That's why being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, they will go like copy typist. I baptize you according to Matthew 28, verse 19. In the name of the Father, the Son of the Holy Ghost, because to them, they are saying what the Bible says they should do. No revelation. No revelation. If I ask you now, who is Jesus? Hallelujah. As the average Christian, bring one from Catholic, bring one from Sele, and bring one from Pentecostal Church. Yes. Who, as the three of them, who is Jesus? They will give you three different answers. You know what the Catholic will say. You know what Sele will say. And you know what the Pentecostal man will tell you. Three different answers they will give you. He told Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Why? Luke chapter 10, let's open it. Luke chapter 10. Are we there? Verse 22. Luke 10:22. Listen carefully. All things Jesus Christ is saying are delivered to me of my Father, and no man, see there, no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. Can you see? No human being knows who Jesus Christ is, only the Father. That is why Jesus Christ said, Peter, you know me to be the Son of God, Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father. Because only my Father knows who I am. Let me read it again. And no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And no man knows who the Father is but the Son. Only Jesus knows who the Father is. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. If you will ever know the Father of Jesus Christ, It means Jesus Christ has revealed him to you. If I ask the average Christian who is the father of Jesus, they will say, God. God is the father. Who is God? You say, Jehovah. Amen. Unless Jesus Christ reveals to you who his father is, you will never know. Unless the father reveals who the son is, you will never know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me confuse the Trinitarians a little bit. Open your Bible for me. Look, Matthew chapter 1. Let me drop one confusion, small. Then we proceed. Read from verse 18 for me if you have microphone. Go on.
Praise the Lord. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise.
This is how Jesus Christ was born.
When, as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
She was found with whose child?
Child of the Holy Ghost.
Whose child was she found with? Who was the father now of that child?
Holy Ghost.
Anytime Jesus Christ said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Who is he referring to? So the Holy Ghost is the father of Jesus. Trinitarians are confused now. Praise the Lord. That is not where I'm going. Hallelujah. That's why he said, no man knows who the son is but the father. No one knows who the father is but the son, and he to whom the son will reveal him. I didn't go to Bible school, but the Holy Ghost revealed this to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't go to any school of theology. In fact, if I ever go to any school of theology, I will fail. Do you understand? Because they will teach me, they will ask me questions on Trinity, and I will say there is no Trinity, and they will say you have failed. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then, Jesus Christ told Peter, hallelujah, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. Which rock? The rock is not Peter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rock is not Jesus. Listen, in the context of that scripture, he said, upon this rock will I build my church. Hallelujah. What rock? The rock is the rock of revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Knowing who Jesus Christ is a rock. Upon that revelation of who Jesus Christ is, he, Christ, will build that church. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. If you don't know who he is, you will never enjoy your Christian life. Because the Bible says knowing him is life. Amen. If you don't know who this Jesus Christ is, because I say you will never enjoy the Christian life, because here is Stephen, tied to a stake, or rather was being stoned for preaching the gospel of salvation. And Jesus Christ folded his hands and was looking at them, stoning him. Paul and Silas, they were preaching gospel. They grabbed them and put them inside prison. Chained them hand and leg together. Waiting for the next day to be executed for doing nothing. And Jesus Christ folded his hand and was looking at him. The disciples were facing all manner of persecution. with Jesus. And this Jesus that has power to destroy all the enemies folded his hand and was looking at them. If they are not sure of who Jesus Christ is, they will change their revelation. But knowing who Jesus Christ is, hallelujah, the disciples were singing this song. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. I've purchased my salvation on Calvary. Do you love him? Do you love him? Because he first loved me. I've purchased my salvation on Calvary. No matter what, see, you have to know this Jesus you are serving. If not, you want to be a religious person. Amen. When that songwriter says, I will be a good soldier, I will die at my post. Amen. Apostle Paul said, what shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? It's a revelation. It's a revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Living below in this awesome world, a comfort can afford. Yes, sir. Striving alone to face temptations. Yes, sir. Oh, neighbors are kind. Oh, I love them, everyone. Oh, can you get along in sweet accord? Yes, sir. But when my soul with man from above, hallelujah, we are good. Where could I go? Oh, seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend, oh, help me. Hallelujah. Where could I go? Life here is grand. Yes, sir. Oh, life here is grand. Oh, I love so. Yes, sir. Comfort I get from God's word. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But when I face the chilling eyes of me, hallelujah, where could I go? Everybody now. Oh, where could I go? Where could I go? Where could I go? Oh, seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to help me. Hallelujah, where could I go? Hallelujah. That song is a revelation. It's a revelation. No matter what difficulty I face, where could I go? There's nowhere else will I go to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a revelation. That man had his wife, all his children in a ship. They were traveling. And they got to a certain spot, a storm, and everybody in the ship perished, including all his children. Years later, he was passing through the same place, and he reached there, and he remembered, "Ha, this is where I lost all my family, all my children." And he was about to cry. Suddenly, this was a Christian missionary. Suddenly, he began to hear this song. When peace like a river attended my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. It is well, it is well, it is well. Under any condition, it is well with my soul. Oh, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul. Hallelujah. Because all things work together for good. Don't you ever think whatever you are going through that he's not aware of it. You need to know him. Praise the Lord. It will take the Holy Ghost inside of you to cause you to react like that. When things are supposed to go left, suddenly the turn begins to go right way. They are supposed to go right, you are falling, suddenly it turns upside down. A Christian does not grumble. Hallelujah. He said, in every circumstance, what should you do? Whether you are promoted or you are demoted, what should you do? In sorrow, in sickness, what should you do? The marriage between you and Christ is for better, for worse. It will take the Holy Ghost to comfort you. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the one that guides you and leads you to all truth. I was saying something. That this God is wiser than every human being. Hallelujah. People are carrying their Bible and going to church. Everybody, I'm born again. I'm born again. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. Listen, church. Ephesians 2:20, there's a statement there where he says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That statement, Jesus, the chief cornerstone, is my emphasis here. When you say Jesus is the chief cornerstone, remember, the church of Jesus Christ is a building of God. Christ himself is the architect. And every building, before you can say this is a building is different from a wall. A wall is straight. But a building, when you reach here, it will turn. When you reach here, it will turn. Hallelujah. It moved like that from the day of Pentecost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something happened. And he began to build it again. He took one man. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Martin Luther was building. He finished it all. He stopped. John Wesley was to turn another way. When he was turning, Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. That is, he's the one that we said now, tall like this. It was justification, now sanctification. John Wesley. Is somebody catching me? Is somebody with me? Hallelujah. But do you know that when he turned for us to follow John Wesley, some people continue to say, we are Luther. Hallelujah. John Wesley continue. Jesus Christ came. Bam, he brought William Branham. Oh, you are born this way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And William Branham continue like that. Some people say, Nalai, we are Pentecostal. Nalai. We don't follow you. Ah, where will you end? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that the Bible says you need the Holy Ghost for you to know when it is Christ moving. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They will know whether it is Jesus Christ speaking through this man's ministry or not. So that they will follow. You need to have the Holy Ghost to be able to move. Hallelujah. Now he has done. Thank you, Evangelike. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. The move is on, my Lord. The move is on. Oh, I can hear the rustling of the mulberry tree. And I know the move is on. Of truth to identify truth, he will guide you to all truth. That is why I answered somebody yesterday. I said, you can receive the Holy Ghost anywhere, but the evidence that it is the Holy Ghost you have received, wherever you are, is that it will lead you to correct water baptism, it will lead you to correct apostolic doctrine. Hallelujah. A woman met with them. Abraham. She was pastoring a church. Very, very anointed. And then she met with William Branham, and William Branham told her, no, you are not in the perfect will of God. The Bible does not permit you to use that anointing to pastor. And the woman saw it when he proved it by the scripture. William Branham said, immediately she said, oh. And she was willing to step down. That the prophet should pray for her. The anointing left her and went to her husband. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is evidence that that woman had the Holy Ghost. That's what William Branham said. If anybody come to you manifesting any anointing and making any claim, how will you confirm that the Spirit is the Holy Ghost, genuine Holy Ghost? He said, give the person the word test. Open the Bible and say, this is thus said the Lord. And see the person's response to the Bible. He will guide you to all truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 18 of John 14. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. See the way he put that statement. John 14 verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will come to you. That means the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Christ. It's Christ in you. What is the promise of the Father? The promise of the Father is that Christ will come to live in you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And John 14 verse 26 tells us that the Holy Ghost will teach you all things and remind you of the things that Christ has spoken. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's the one teaching me. He's the one teaching you too. Oh, you have not read the Bible. Open Bible one day, something will just be quickened to you. You feel like jumping and shouting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The promise of the Father. Amen. And quickly, let me emphasize this verse 26 first, where he says, he will teach all things and remind you of all the things. One of the things that he reminded the apostles was Matthew 28 verse 19. He told them, go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, like we spoke yesterday. And he taught them to know that the name of the Father is the same name of the Son and is the same name of the Holy Ghost. That is why he reminded them of the things that Jesus told them. And that's why every baptism in the Bible is done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the power that you receive after you receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus Christ says, "For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Which power? Power to do three things. The first one is the power of transformation. The power that can transform a sinner to a saint. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And for emphasis, let me remind you what I always say. Especially on Tuesday here, when we come together for our usual Tuesday Shiloh program here. Somebody asked me a question. Pastor, you mean all these powerful men of God? Are you saying they are wrong? Powerful men. And I answered him that day, what do you mean when you say a man of God is powerful? Amen. Is it when he touches the cripple, bam, the cripple rises and walks, then you say he's powerful? No, that is a very small power. So that's a very small power. A blind man comes before the man and he touches his eye, the eye open, that is a very small power. He's walking and his shadow will be healing the sick. Mighty miracle signs and wonders, those mighty miracle signs and wonders, they are still small, small power, because there is a higher power than that. And you are only a great man of God if you have that power around you. What is that power? The power that can change a sinner to a saint is the highest power on earth today. No, you didn't catch me. Some of you didn't understand me. So, you know, I would have gotten a better reaction, especially from the brothers. Church, hallelujah, the greatest power on earth today, the greatest power that ever exists in the whole world, is the power. For which reason? Look, that power was nowhere on earth. It is because of that power to be released that God sent Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary. If he didn't go to the cross of Calvary, that power was nowhere. Even God himself could do nothing without it. The power was released only after Christ went to the cross of Calvary. And it is only if you have that power that you are entitled to be referred to as a powerful man of God. Hallelujah. I'm not saying the things that are tickling you. No, the reason is because it is too deep for some people to understand. I bear with you. I understand. Church, listen. Hallelujah. The power that can change a sinner, that will change a prostitute and make her a prophetess in the church of Jesus Christ. The power that changed an Igbo smoker and made him an evangelist. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The power that changed a drunkard and make him a preacher. The power that changes an armed robber to an evangelist. He's the greatest power that exists on earth. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You say, show me that power. I will bring myself to you. I am a beneficiary of that power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, I went to preach to the Armed Forces Resettlement Center there. They had their Thanksgiving service for their trainees. And I was invited to be the speaker there. And I remember that when I picked the microphone, those my former colleagues were there. My former boss is still their commandant and Air Vice Marshal. He was there. And some of those soldiers, they knew me. And I noticed when I was introduced that I was going to be the speaker and I was referred to as Pastor Moses Alu. I noticed they were doing like this. They were, ooh, 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 ooh. I can imagine they say, pastor, this one be pastor. And when I came to the pulpit, I told them, hallelujah. I said, I called the commandant. I said, the commandant is surprised seeing me handling microphone like this. And they were all laughing. They are all surprised. Why? I told them, and that was very ironic. I said, the last time I handled microphone, the last time I handled microphone was in the nightclub before I left the Air Force. I finished handling microphone the next day. They put me for prison. As their DJ. Hallelujah. And then the next time I'm coming back to the barrack to handle microphone again, it is now in the church at the pulpit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amazing grace.